When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for four nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
Charges is created by Portal A and Control Media. It's produced by DB Podcasts in association with iHeartRadio.
This time, a former Suns player who you might remember as T-Rex.
More video in just a moment, but this is Rex Chapman's mugshot, and we are learning a lot more about the charges.
Would it surprise the listeners how often a player or organization member crosses the line?
Every once in a while, there might be some comment, someone asking, like, what sexual positions you like, or what are you wearing under your skirt or your pants. I don't regret not coming forward because there's no chance I would have been believed, and there's no chance I could have continued in my career. Zero. Zero.
Welcome to Charges. I'm your host, Rex Chapman. Today on the show, we have a very different type of guest and a story to tell. I'm a man who has three daughters and a younger sister, so this episode really strikes a deep chord for me to help make this world of sports a better place today than when I was playing. I'm proud to have on former sports journalist Kat O'Brien, who for years covered Major League Baseball, but during that time, she held on to a secret. Kat worked at the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Newsday, and ESPN, before ultimately leaving sports journalism. She was a rising star who was taken advantage of in a despicable way by a coward of a man. What's worse is that it was committed by one of her peers, a professional athlete. A few weeks ago, she wrote a piece for the New York Times and told her story, one that she's held on to for 18 years. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. Before we get started, I want to read this one part of her piece to you. Kat writes, "I don't want this assault to be what people think of when they think of me. I don't want pity. Being a survivor of rape is only a tiny part of my story. There are hundreds of things more interesting about me, such as my passion for Spain. I've run six marathons and qualified for the Boston since having a stroke. That I've worked for several companies, the most recognized and respected companies in the world, and that I volunteer with International Rescue Committee. I've traveled to more than 30 countries on my own, moved abroad, learned to scuba dive in St. Lucia, kite surf in Spain and Brazil, and have been one of the few women in many spaces. I haven't lost my optimism."
Charges.
Kat, what an honor it is to have you on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Rex. I appreciate your giving me the opportunity to talk with you and reach your audience.
We'll get into everything about you, but I want to start here. Tell me about your life as a kid. Where are you from? How were you drawn into the world of sports?
Sure. I'm from Davenport, Iowa, so Quad Cities, kind of middle of America, right on the Mississippi River. I was the tomboy, played a lot of sports, did a lot of other things too, but didn't have any expectation to go into sports as a career. But I really liked telling stories. I really liked journalism. I went to Notre Dame for college, which certainly has a pretty strong sports history. And I worked for the student newspaper, which is a daily paper Monday through Friday, and found covering sports to be get a lot more attention and interest from people than covering what professor was giving a lecture or whether a restaurant on campus might stay open half an hour later. And so I kind of started doing more sports. And then I remember really clearly, actually it's sad timing, but this professional track athlete, Paul McMullen, raced in a meet on campus, and I did a feature on him, and he sent me a handwritten note several weeks later after USA Today had also done a piece. And he said that my piece was better. And I was like this 19, 20 year old. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. This, athlete. And sadly, he actually just died this year in an accident. But he helped kind of push me, like, I'm going to do more sports. And then, yeah, so those small things that someone does can sometimes have unexpected consequences and intentions. And so, I focused more on sports in the newspaper and then ended up getting an internship the summer I graduated through the Association of Women in Sports Media. And I joined the Fort Worth Star-Telegram as an intern, thinking maybe I could get on at like a small paper somewhere. The Star-Telegram was one of the top sports sections in the country, and they ended up hiring me full time. And so that's my story and how I got into sports, pretty much.
Look, I got to say, my entry in the media was tough because of my background in personal life, but I never had to be an intern.
But I got hired coming right out of the summer, actually partway through the summer, got an offer and then started covering primarily high school sports, and then also would help out with kind of whatever else was needed. The high school sports in Texas are a big deal. We had, at the time, different sections depending on which area of the region people lived in. So, subscribers would get a certain edition and covered a lot of high school sports, football, basketball, baseball, track,
crazy
everything.
Crazy popular there. Crazy
very,
popular.
Very, very popular. Yeah. Next level. And then would help out with a lot of other things, especially, in the summer, there aren't high school sports. So baseball, I had, studied Spanish. So baseball was really a natural fit because I brought something that, most people wouldn't have in terms of being able to speak Spanish with players.
What was your favorite part about covering baseball?
You can get to know people really well because they play every day. So I think, that gives reporters a better chance to get to know players. I think that can be tougher in a big media market like New York, for instance, because there are so many reporters, players may be a little more guarded with good reason. But, when you're around people every day, like in Texas, and there are only a handful that are there day in and day out in terms of reporters, you can, potentially get a chance to get to know people well. I think I always tried to be fair with not just players, with everyone around sport. And I think that people recognize that. Most people recognize that. And so I think just the day in, day out aspect of it, while that can be a challenge, it also can give you a better opportunity to know people as compared to football, like NFL, where they're playing once a week. Locker room access is super limited. Interview access is really limited. I think it's harder to get to know the players in that space.
At what point did you have the realization, oh, because I'm a woman, this job is going to be different for me than if I was a man?
That's a good question. I guess it's just sort of a gradual thing. You know, it's like, I don't know that I thought about it much in college. In college, your access is more limited on a college campus as opposed to professional athletes. There are a lot of comments in the atmosphere that you deal with. This is not just players, so I'm not singling out players by any stretch. This is just the whole atmosphere. So I don't by any stretch think that players were more guilty of sexual harassment or anything than other people around the sport or in life, really. But it is a very male-dominated atmosphere. So whether that's from, you know, agents to coaches to players to other reporters, it's just a reality that you deal with. I do remember like a few times talking to other women, but there weren't a lot of other women covering baseball.
No, there weren't.
So maybe talk to another woman who was working in Dallas-Fort Worth, but not covering baseball, or one of the few women who was covering baseball, if they had any tips. Then again, you're like 22, 23. How much do you want to bother this person who's been working in the game for 10, 20, 30 years or in the industry for that long? And I remember different people talking about different approaches based on their personality, based on the experiences they'd have, because two people working in the same sport, in the same sector, don't have the same experiences. So you might not have had, maybe you covered a team where someone was really egregious, or maybe the exact opposite, where a captain of the team was like, hey, you don't do this. Mm-hmm. And that person had a big positive effect. So I think, you know, dependent on the atmosphere. Of course, then are you traveling? Are you on the road? And then personality-wise, like there are people who have a certain personality where they're going to react more strongly. Things are going to roll off them more easily. And then age. I mean, if I was 22, 23, in my 20s the whole time I covered baseball. So you're at the same age, or in many cases younger, maybe, than a lot of the players. If I had been in my 50s, I'm sure it would be a different experience. One, based on what you would encounter, but two, based on even now, I would probably have a different response. I might take a little less, excuse
That's
my
right.
language, but.
That's right. Say whatever you like. A lot has been made in the last few years about locker room talk. The locker rooms of today are very different from my era in coverage and decency. I'm ashamed to admit that while teammates belittled female reporters with inappropriate conduct, I, as a young man, did not step in like I should have, which makes me complicit. The workplace is meant to be a safe haven for all, but sadly across sports, we're seeing a pattern of vile behavior from the past to the present that must be corrected.
The president of LSU says there was a, quote, institutional betrayal in how the university handled accusations of sexual misconduct. This comes as an outside law firm released its report of failures to address such issues on campus.
15 former female employees of the Washington Redskins have accused members of the team's front office of sexual and verbal harassment. This in a new report from the Washington Post. The accusations span from 2006 through 2019 and include longtime radio voice Larry Michael, also director of pro personnel Alex Santos, and his assistant Richard Mann.
A new report on sexual harassment in the Dallas Mavericks basketball team. Investigators have found a hostile culture for women at the team owned by billionaire Mark Cuban.
Cuban and his Mavericks facing the bite of a bombshell report revealing multiple instances of sexual harassment and workplace misconduct over two decades.
Carolina Panthers founder and principal owner Jerry Richardson announces plans to sell the team at the end of the season amid reports he gave payouts to four former employees to settle claims of misconduct and racial slurs.
Just 5 weeks after he was hired, the Mets dismissed their general manager, Jared Porter.
He was quickly fired today when news of a sexting scandal went public.
The Mets organization says it knew nothing about the allegations until Jared Porter called them last night. They say he told them about the disturbing claims being made against him by a female reporter from Korea. The Mets say he took full responsibility for his actions and expressed remorse.
I got to say this. I was a teenager entering the NBA in the late 80s, and it was right at that time that, you know, ladies were coming in the locker room. And I've never talked to them about it, but I saw Hannah Storm worked in Charlotte, and she was one of the first that I knew that came into the locker room. The other was Jackie McMullen. And I witnessed, you know, just awful things, you know, take place where, you know, obviously I saw that they saw, you know, what was happening, and just the strength that it took to continue to work and thrive in that environment. So how would you describe your professional relationship with athletes during your career? And would it surprise the listeners how often a player or organization member crosses the line?
I would say with the vast majority of people, for the most part, I had a good and professional relationship. I would say most players, by and large, treated me very professionally. Even some said things like, oh, you know, I would think of you like a sister or something. I wouldn't want someone to treat my sister XYZ way. And so would, you know, in some cases even be more cordial, where they might have snapped at a male athlete like they didn't want to because they didn't think they should treat a woman that way. So I would say most players and most people around the game generally treated me well, and or if not well, the same way they would have treated a male athlete or
That's
a reporter. Sorry, you know,
right.
Like if someone, and I'm not going to negatively call out anybody, but if a certain player known for sort of snapping at reporters snapped at me, it wasn't probably because I was a woman. That was just because, hey, he was treating me like everyone else.
Yep.
So, you know, there's one athlete who was a notorious jerk. If anyone said he wasn't a jerk, I would be shocked. Like, he's probably the person you're thinking of this person, but I'm not going to negatively name any person. And he one time, like, or more than one time, I remember purposely, like, basically walked around naked. So, because, you know, we would try to not be looking if someone's changing. So that one was a very obvious one. So was that him being kind of a sexist jerk? Yes. Was he just a jerk in general to almost everyone? Yes. And then there were others who by and large would treat me well, but every once in a while there might be some comment, someone asking like what sexual positions like, or what are you wearing or under your skirt or your pants, which is like obviously not okay. But also other reporters making jokes about such and such female reporter must be sleeping with so and so. And I couldn't even think how many people said that over time. And given I heard it said about a lot of other women, I can only assume it was said about almost all of them at one point or another. So
it's so sad. It really is. And when I talked about, I'm glad you said it, you know, it kind of freed me up. You know, one of my first experiences with a female in the locker room, you know, I had a teammate who just kind of waited for the reporter to come in and then took off his towel and then started, you know, using the lotion on his legs and to, you know, didn't start the interview until that happened. Now, of course, I'm calling that guy out at 19 and 20 and 21 and hell, maybe even 31. I don't know. I didn't. And that makes me feel bad.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
The Department of Justice says 18% of women in the United States have been raped at some point in their lifetime. 18%. That's almost one out of every five women. Or the populations of Washington State, Oregon, Idaho, Nevada, Montana, Wyoming, and Utah combined. And about two-thirds of victims know their attacker. So why do only 16% of cases get reported? Well, it's complicated. Sometimes victims don't want to get the offender in trouble. Sometimes they believe police can't help. But every time, a victim is dealing with some sort of trauma. Most times we think of physical, emotional, or mental trauma. But what if I told you sexual assault victims are also hit financially? The DOJ finds that almost 50% of sexual assault survivors lose their jobs or are forced to quit.
On June 20th, 2021, Kat published an op-ed in the New York Times, and she came forward about the rape for the first time. The piece sent shockwaves throughout the sports media world, but to date, none of the leagues, including Major League Baseball, have acknowledged it as a moment of reckoning. I want to ask, and just as a starting point, I know you wrote about what happened and you've talked about it in other interviews, but still, are you comfortable with talking about what happened? And I want you to know, whatever level of comfort you have or don't have at any point, just please, it's okay to, and I'll stop and respect that.
Yeah, I'll do my best to, okay. And so I'll go as much as I can.
I got it. Okay. Thanks. Okay. So if you're willing, can we talk about the day of the incident or days leading up to it and that week, you know, sort of coming to a head?
Yeah. So, I just, a player, not on the team that I covered. So I have at no point, although some troll sleuths on the internet like to think they can guess who I very specifically did not give any clues other than saying it was not a player on a team I covered. So a visiting player wanted to said he wanted to talk confidentially for a story I was doing. I thought that seemed plausible. It initially suggested meeting like at a bar or someplace because it was going to be after the game. So that's what would be open. And then he said, oh, I don't want someone to see and know I was talking to you. Can we do it at my hotel? And I decided yes. I was very trusting and thought, oh, sure, he's talking. That seems plausible. He doesn't want anyone to know. So I went to his hotel room after the game, after I got done reporting, and had, you know, my notebook and pen and record to, you know, interview him, and sat down to interview him. And it did start as that. So there wasn't an indication when I got there that there was any other purpose or anything else that he was looking for. It all seemed straightforward. He was not wearing like no clothes or anything crazy. And then after a few minutes, he like moved to kiss me, and I was taken aback and it's like, what are you doing? And I'm probably not going to like feel comfortable going into a lot of detail,
okay.
But he continued to kiss me and push me towards the bed. And then he did not stop, and he did not take no for an answer. I never told anybody until earlier this year, not a single person. And I honestly never really thought about telling anyone. I think there was one or two times I thought about telling a female friend, basically in light of them talking about something much less egregious, but not great that had happened to them. And then I felt that, if you tell someone always tells someone. They tell their boyfriend, they tell their roommate. And so then I was just really terrified that it was going to get out. So I never told anyone, even though I think it was the next day I was back at the ballpark, and a teammate of this player's, I could hear and see him like gesturing and making, saying something in conjunction with the other player's name. And I was just astonished that, like, okay, this player said, clearly he didn't say I raped her. I can't imagine.
Right.
He had to have said like, oh, I hooked up with this reporter or something that made me look bad. And I remember I was so like humiliated, like, oh my God, is everyone going to know this other version of it and think this about me? Because there's already this, kind of this perception among some people that female reporters are not there to do a job, but they're there to like pick up guys or some crazy thing. It's something that it's a rumor that people say. I always will remember that teammate. Like he continued to do that. Every time I would see him and he would make comments or I would overhear him, and I really tried to like avoid him as much as I could. But that to me was a really egregious that he continued to do that for years that I was, you know, still covering baseball.
It's just heartbreaking. I'm so sorry. Do you beat yourself up about trusting? Because, and I have daughters, 20, 22, and 26. And, you know, younger sister, I think about those, you know, young babies, they're babies. And, you know, being so trusting of somebody who's, when you look back, was meaning to do you harm.
Well, I mean, I do. And yet I also, like, I don't want to lose that like ability to trust people or to believe the best in people. And I mean, I will say, like, I feel like I have fought through personal things, through things happening in the world. You see, like, just terrible things happening in the world. Yes. I have, like, really fought to be like, I want to be, I would much rather be a glass three quarters full person and believe the best of someone and be disappointed. Actually, I've run a lot with the Nike Run Club, and there's this coach, Chris Bennett. I can't remember the exact wording, but he said something. I was like, yes, that is how I feel. I'm going to totally butcher it, but basically I would rather think the best of people and have them disappoint me than think the worst of people and just be disappointed in life. So I'm going to stick with that, but yet sometimes you do have to be a little more cautious or protective. To get into, and I talked about this in my piece, but for your audience, so I never, ever, ever thought of telling anyone. And then this winter, when Jared Porter was fired as Mets GM, and I was reading, even though I'm not working in sports anymore, I'm not working in baseball, but I read things, and specifically if they're particularly like relevant, interesting. And I was reading a lot of the coverage by people about him getting fired for persistent sexual harassment of a female reporter. And so I'm reading some just general coverage, but then women in baseball and sports writing about, you know, their experiences. And then I can remember I was sitting, it was not this couch because I got a new couch, but I was sitting here like reading, and Britt Giroli from The Athletic had a piece, and something that started out the same way happened to her. It didn't end the same way, thank God, but she went to interview a player in his hotel room. When she arrived, though, she had a romantic setup and was basically like, what the f-? Like, and she turned around and left. But I read it and I just was like, oh my God, because it's not as if I totally blamed myself, but I kind of did. Like, I just like put it in this box over here because I don't think that I could have continued as a reporter if I felt like that was something that was like a danger for me. And I also, I don't regret not coming forward because there's no chance I would have been believed, and there's no chance I could have continued in my career. Zero. So, but anyway, I read her piece and I was
like,
oh my God.
I wish I could disagree with you.
Yeah. I wish I could disagree with me, but, you know, I saw she did the same thing, and then I was just like, oh, it wasn't just me. I wasn't the only like person who would fall for this. And I talked to other people, well, lots of men, but women who have done interviews in hotel rooms, and some who were like, it was fine. Some who had a bad experience, not only in sports, in journalism in general. So yeah, I mean, we can get to that. But when my piece came out, the volume of people who wrote to me or reached out to me to say they've been through something similar, it was just devastating, not only in journalism, I mean, just people
across the board.
Yeah.
I want to ask this, in this type of professional situation, did you ever even consider that someone could do something like this? And I ask because this was a crime, and most people in most jobs, certainly high profile, public eye type jobs, don't consider that a crime could take place at a job.
I mean, I had never thought about that. I remember a few times, like either myself or other people I worked with telling me to be careful in certain situations, like you're leaving a stadium late at night by yourself. Mm-hmm. I traveled to the Dominican Republic a few times to do reporting. And I actually remember the editor was really worried, like, I do not want something to happen to you. And funny enough, I remember thinking, gosh, it's much more dangerous leaving, like, Detroit or Cleveland ballpark late at night or the Bronx by myself than me being in a cab and such in the DR. of course, any experience could, depending, but I generally like, so I would say just those sort of late night by yourself situations where you think, oh, should I pay extra and take a cab rather than take, you know, the subway or something that's a certain time, but not that it might be like, not that someone in the game might,
I'm sure I know the answer to this, and I just hate, you know, since you didn't tell literally anyone afterwards, zero chance, zero thought given to calling the police.
No chance.
Right? I mean, that's just awfully sad. It's just terrible.
Something that's really, you know, as I, when I did decide to write this piece, so after I read Britt's piece, I told someone. It actually like took a couple weeks, but I was just like having nightmares and couldn't sleep and was just crying a lot. And I decided to tell someone and tell like a few close friends. And then I decided to write something because even though I'm not currently a professional writer, I did that for a bunch of years and I'm still a writer. And I felt like I could tell my story better than someone else could tell my story. And so I decided to, and initially I was going to publish it on Medium, but as I was writing and like, I spent a few weeks kind of remembering different things and figuring out exactly what I wanted to say and the direction and, you know, did some research on stats and actually only like 1% of rape allegations end up with the person going to jail. 1%, really 1%. Terrible. And out of all, I had hundreds of people reach out to me. They're somewhat higher than that, have some sort of consequence, like they have to pay a fine or something like that. But in terms of like actually say jail, 1%. And a very small minority are convicted. And usually those, there's some sort of, there was a witness, there was some sort of video camera, something like that. So no, I didn't think of it, and I don't regret. I know that sounds terrible because, you know, people have said, like, well, how is someone else going to feel better about coming forward? And I'm like, they probably shouldn't. That is terrible, but they probably shouldn't. I mean, God bless and more power to every person who does come forward, because I cannot imagine actually how difficult. I mean, I read stories of people who faced challenges is a very nice way to put it, at the hands of police or people investigating. Almost out of the hundreds of people who wrote to me, there was like, I think, two people that had some sort of actual consequences for the person they accused.
That's insanely sad.
There were other people. It was like an abuser at a camp. But there were no criminal consequences, but he lost his job. And then one where the person was convicted, served zero jail time, but had to pay the person's legal legal expenses. So there are people that do face more consequences, but it's difficult. So
in your piece for the Times, Kat, you wrote that you went home and tried to numb your sadness and rage. I can only imagine what you or anybody else is feeling at that time. How did you deal with those feelings?
I think I just tried to ignore them as best I could. And just to kind of like pretend as if it had never happened. I wasn't 100% successful in that. I mean, I talked about, there was a player who said things. I remember, because I knew like this player was saying things, the teammate, I remember a few times where, say I was applying for a job or I got contacted about a job, or later, you know, I got my MBA and I stayed in sports, but on the business side, and I applied for jobs at Major League Baseball at a couple of teams. I remember I interviewed with the Red Sox at one point. And I just remember being like terrified that executive was going to find out, which is really so crazy because I'm worried that someone's going to find out that someone committed a crime against me.
My gosh.
But I don't think I was wrong to think that because, and that's honestly one of the reasons I decided to come forward now, even though I can't prove I never told anyone. There's nothing, but if someone else is telling a false story about you, all that is had years to accumulate. I just felt like if I'm going to tell my true story, and that way, if for some reason, I don't know if I ever decide to go back into the sports sector, because honestly, I was really good at working in sports, and I could go back into that space at some point. And if I decide to, my story is out there as opposed to just someone else's story.
It's beautiful. You know, I want to pause here and acknowledge something too, by the way. You know, none of this was your fault. You know, you're having to talk about something that was done to you, not by you. And in a better society, it would be the person who did this, who committed this horrific crime, and would be forced to deal with it and talk about it and face repercussions from it. And I just want to say, Kat, thank you. Thank you for your bravery for doing this. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com.
Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue?
No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
After the first few days of Olympic competition, we've already seen American exceptionalism at its best, with first ever wins in some events and repeated medals in others. But we've also taken a few losses. The biggest? Allowing an athlete who has had multiple sexual assault accusations to compete on the world's biggest stage. Days after fencer Alan Hetsick joined the Olympic team, six women fencers filed formal complaints of sexual misconduct to the U.S. Center for Safe Sport, the nonprofit agency responsible for protecting athletes from abuse. Yet instead of taking these complaints seriously, once again, they were dismissed faster than Sha'Carri Richardson was dismissed for taking performance-enhancing drugs. USA Fencing took it a step further and created the most insulting safety plan to protect women on the team. Hadsick was required to take a separate plane to Tokyo, stay 30 minutes away from the Olympic Village in his own hotel, and practice away from all women.
with sports now being a 24/7, 365 billion upon billion dollar industry, there are still often heartwarming stories that take center stage. But as we've seen from coverage on the Olympics and even Major League Baseball, there is nowhere to hide when the line is crossed. The only hope these cowards have is to hope and hide behind those they've wronged in hopes that they stay silent. What was your perception of a Major League Baseball locker room culture, and could that have created conditions for such a horrible act, you know, to be encouraged or even or excused?
You know, I think it can, but I also think like societal things can. I don't think that baseball or any league can solve these problems on their own. And I also don't think that one act can be, say, that you can say that's because of XYZ or that's the result of someone failing to do XYZ. So that's why I really tried in my piece to say, okay, there was this one really, really terrible thing that happened, but there was also a lot of things less egregious, but that were an everyday thing. And so when you deal with them every day, that can in some be just as challenging, depending they can.
Right.
Are there things baseball can do, teams can do to educate players and team officials? Mm-hmm. And frankly, can media outlets educate their own members? Yes. Is that going to prevent everything? Absolutely not. So I do think that there are things that can be done to kind of reduce the amount of, sexual comments, harassment, things like that. And hopefully, you know, even more stories coming out will make it less likely that some of those things happen. I think also steps taken by other people who overhear it. So not an official thing, but if everyone moves one or two steps more to the side of good, if I can say that, but that could make a huge difference. So maybe, okay, you're probably not going to get someone who's currently committing sexual assault or rape to become just this beacon of supporting women, at least not in the near term. But maybe they become less egregious. Maybe someone who would never consider assaulting someone, but, laughs about sexual harassment, maybe they don't laugh at it. Or maybe the person who doesn't even laugh about it but stays silent when they hear a joke says, hey, actually, that's not that funny. So I think those micro steps can, it may sound silly, but I think that they can make a big difference over time.
Yeah. When you decided to go forward and not report the perpetrator, from what you've said in other interviews, that was a decision you made because you were aware of how these things normally go. Mm-hmm. And you touched on it a little bit earlier. Have you encountered with those ladies that have ridden you any success stories where their perpetrator has faced significant repercussions?
So not really, no. Their story is, of course, that exist in the world. More, I feel like I've become even more saddened by there are any number of stories happening right now. There's obviously the accusations against Trevor Bauer with the Dodgers. There's a fencer right now in the Olympics who has sexual assault allegations against him, which, by the way, my dear friend Melissa Segura is one of the reporters on that. He has these allegations. His whole team doesn't want him to be there. They had to fly him on a different plane. That means there's some legit, there's a lot behind these allegations.
Yes.
It's not one person. And so that just kind of makes me sad that, okay, well, we care. And yet someone's not in the Olympics because she tested positive for marijuana.
I know
there are rules, but we have to bend over backwards to have this person be an alternate who has numerous.
And he's an alternate.
He's an alternate.
Because you're going, well, he must be really good. No, not good enough to not be an alternate at this point, apparently. And they're giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was, of all the people who wrote to me, I would say that for the first week after my piece came out, it was really overwhelming. Just, I heard from hundreds of people who I know who care about me, who reached out be supportive. There were some, you know, trolls on the internet and such that like say you're lying and whatever. But what was really the most devastating were hearing from so many people. I heard from complete strangers. I heard from friends, acquaintances, relatives, colleagues, people I went to school with, other reporters, all of whom said like they either were sexually assaulted or raped some more than once in their life. And it was just so sad to hear from. And it made me really think like every single one of these people in some way, small or big, no matter how strong or resilient, whatever, has been negatively affected by this. 100%. Every single one. And some in, you know, life-altering ways that they have never been able, I mean, people spiral and, you know, I've listened to some of your podcast and people talk about, you know, one terrible thing happened that ended up causing them to spiral. And so every single one of the person who's been sexually assaulted or raped has had negative consequences in their life. And think about how much better we as a society could be if each of those people, we people, I guess, didn't have that burden. Like, what could each of those people have accomplished? What heights could they have reached? And that's true, not just, it's also true of, you know, of racism, of bigotry, of all kinds of things. But just thinking about that one aspect of the sexual assault, sexual harassment, we could be so much better as a world if everyone, you know, could reach their full potential.
Preach on. Can you look back now and see, did you like pour yourself into your job or into running marathons or, you know, did you exercise? How did you cope?
I mean, I definitely was very focused on my job. I definitely did not date really at all for a few years, I would say, like really until I moved to New York for the most part. I mean, psychologists could probably say there's, you know, you're avoiding, potential dangerous situations or,
you know,
physically,
you
psychologically,
know.
Like, I mean, it's also easy to at the time be like, oh, of course I'm working. Well, I mean, I was covering baseball. I'm traveling 180 days a year for work. I work nights and weekends. So it's pretty easy to be like, oh, I don't have time to date because that's, you have to make time for it. But yeah, I think I was pretty focused on my job. And, you know, I was at the time mainly covering high schools and helping out with baseball and other sports. And then I became the second baseball writer, like a few months, a year later. And then for the Star-Telegram, we had two baseball writers and then I became the lead baseball writer. And then I moved to New York and covered the Yankees for Newsday. So, I stayed covering baseball until 2009 when I left to go get my MBA. So, I guess probably continued to be very career focused. Not that I'm not anymore, but it's certainly not the only thing in my life.
Right, right. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Ocean by H10 Hotels and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Respected former sports journalist Kat O'Brien, in an opinion piece for the New York Times, Kat made this public for the first time that she was raped by a Major League Baseball player in 2002. She was just 22 at the time. She was a year out of college, and she says she never reported what happened because she was afraid of the backlash. She writes that it was, quote, a trauma that had been living inside me for 18 years.
This could have happened to your loved one. Unfortunately, possibly it has, whether you know it or not. Those who use their positions of power for sexual impropriety, your day of reckoning is upon you. We are seeing it in industries and in countries around the globe. We all must do our best to protect those in need, and if you or a loved one needs to hear this, share your voice. I support you. Speak your truth. It sounds strange to say this, but what are the positives you hope will come from you adding your voice to this issue of, yeah, sexual assault, but also the problem of women not feeling believed or safe to report their sexual assaults?
Yeah. So I had kind of three things in mind, basically, that I hoped. One, that some other people, it's been mostly women, but I have heard from some men, would either feel comfortable coming forward, whether publicly, or would at least seek help from friends or support, or at least not blame themselves. So somehow that people would find comfort. And a lot of people have written to me, some have written to me that told me they don't, like, only told one other person. So I do think that it's had some positive effect in that way. Secondly, this one is the one that I think the jury's out on. I hoped and hope that some leagues and or teams, not because this isn't just a baseball problem by any stretch, might do some things to make less likely the general era of sexual harassment. This can also be media outlets, by the way, but do leagues, MLB, but also other leagues, or individual teams put in place more education, more awareness of sexual assault, sexual harassment, all of it. So you can't prevent all of it. You definitely can't, but you can make it less likely. I mean, I mentioned in the piece there was one time, only one time that I ever spoke up, and I really didn't want to, and but I felt like something had kind of, there was a evolution where something was getting worse. Players were feeling comfortable to do something, and I ended up saying something, and the team was super supportive.
Good for you.
It was Brian Cashman. Like, thank you. He was super
fantastic.
On the ball. Like, very much so. So, you know, things like that, I think, can help. So, if management, if teams, if player leadership are not accepting. So that's one thing, though, that I hope more teams and leagues, I think there's more that can be done there. I know there's more that can be done there.
Has Major League Baseball done anything as a group at all to do that? And when I say that, I don't know that NBA has or the NFL has either.
I know that all the leagues have some sort of at least minimal training or education. I don't know all the ins and outs. I haven't heard. I talked to one person from Major League Baseball, really not on a official matter. I haven't heard from them in an official capacity. I don't know of any specific.
You haven't? Major League Baseball hasn't really reached out?
They gave a statement to CNN when I went on CNN, and I did hear from, like, one person there. I heard from a couple of managers and coaches who I know in the league. I heard from one player, and so one person working for the league, two people who'd been coaches or managers on teams or executives on teams I covered, and one player total. So that actually was surprising and disappointing to me, because there are players who I've kept in touch with over the years, at least sporadically, that I would have thought would say something, reach out. But and then the last one that I hope would have an impact, this is one that literally every one of us can do. So I talked about this earlier, but just those, like, little steps, micro changes. I mean, I mentioned in my piece that the first two guys, people I'm close to, that I told about this, they both were like, oh my God, that's so awful. I support you, believe you. But they also were like, but you couldn't get away. And one, in any situation, someone can't always get away. But then on top of it, you're talking about a professional athlete who is one, a professional athlete, but also, like, outweighed me by a lot.
Yes.
And so to have two people who are really close to you say that, just so that chip of awareness, but even on a broader level, like I said, jokes, when someone around you is making a joke about sexual harassment or that, like, oh, all women XYZ, mm-hmm. just being a little more cognizant. Look, I would love to never have to ever talk about this. I would love to never have to, like, raise awareness, to share awful stories. I would love for it to never happen. And recently, especially as, like, since this has come out, and, you know, if I see a story, I might, like, retweet it or I share it. And I don't want that. Like, that is not the thing I want to talk about in life. There's so many other things I care about. So just stop doing it, and then none of us will have to talk about it. Like, really.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something that Rick Pitino told me once. I had a painkiller issue for many years, if you didn't know. And I was in rehab, and he came to see me, and I said, listen, nobody's ever going to want to talk to me anymore. He said, you're going to be fine. I said, I'm toxic. Nobody, you know. And he said, Rex, your story's going to help a lot of people. And I said, this isn't my fucking story. Through tears.
Yep. I understand that.
Two weeks later, I had to accept, or a month later, or 2 years later, it's my story. And it's just going to be part of my story. And I say that to say this, that I can't imagine the pain, not only during and when you were young, but that you've carried all these years. And I don't know that there's ever a perfect time, but in this climate we're in, you're going to help so many people. Because I think you are going to empower other women, other reporters. It's not just women, you know. To share their story. So
I hope so. And thanks for that. And, you know, I want to say on that note, well, I definitely had the same reaction. I don't want this to be my story, but.
Right.
I guess we don't always get to choose what might be part of our story. But on the, you know, the opioid addiction, I feel so grateful. So I mentioned that I had a concussion that led to a stroke.
Oh my God. I knew about the stroke.
Yeah. The month after I graduated from Wharton, I got sick on an airplane. They found me unconscious. I'd hit my head. It caused me to have, I'd never had a migraine. I had a migraine for almost 2 years, and that caused a stroke. But I am really grateful that I never, and lucky that I did not develop an opioid addiction, because I was taking Like, I was taking, like, Percocet, Oxycontin.
Oh, man.
And so it actually, really, like, didn't, yeah. It actually, like, didn't even barely touch the pain. I was in that much pain. So maybe because it didn't help
Poor
me that
thing.
Much, I didn't get addicted. but in knowing how easy it can be,
yeah.
You know, just by the wrong luck, I've heard so many stories. So I'm glad that you were able to get off.
You.
But I'm you know, I'm fortunate that I didn't because I was having to take those for pain.
Yeah, and you know, also I look back and I was taking them. You're lucky. Also because I was taking them for emotional pain as well. And that is a, you know, I'm glad they didn't work for you when I say that.
This video is about why Jimmy Butler and Rachel Nichols indeed hooked up in a hotel in the 2020 NBA bubble. There's a ton of proof that support this claim, so let's get straight to it.
Another thing, real quick, what's your opinion about the role social media plays on journalism today? How a story that has no confirmation, like Jimmy Butler and Rachel Nichols married kids, supposedly
yeah.
became intimate during the NBA bubble,
yeah.
can go viral? How can reporters yeah. and even the audience know how to sift through and react to an overabundance of information?
That is really tough. I'm actually wrestling. I'm trying to write something right now related to kind of social media and women on it, particularly Twitter, because I know something I've noticed. I mean, I'm talking particularly from a professional standpoint. There are certain industries where it can be really beneficial for people's careers. And I've noticed seeing women tend to be less active. And one of the reasons is we tend to get a lot of vitriol. Sometimes, I mean, I've talked to some people that have gotten like explicit rape threats,
yes,
explicit
yes.
People. There's an Olympian right now. There's a piece that just came out on her being stalked for years. So I get why someone would choose to be less active. Nevertheless, I mean, thinking
yes.
on as a journalist, it's certainly an important part of the profession. So that's a really tricky thing. How do people yeah. sift through what's true? I guess all of us, and myself included, we should all probably be more careful about what we're sharing, what's the source, but how reliable is that? Like,
yeah.
I don't know anything about what, if anything, happened between them, but I certainly have heard my share of women falsely
right.
accused of sleeping with a player or just sleeping with someone, whoever, because it someone famous, what have you. And also, like, also the athlete, like, he shouldn't
yes.
be accused. I don't remember if he's married or not, but he shouldn't be falsely accused. And nobody should be. I don't know what happened. You know, I that was something. I mean, even on social media, I think when it was in one of my last years covering baseball, but I remember the post stories about A-Rod coming out, and I specifically remember talking to players being like, "Whoa, this is not something that people write about marital infidelity," and that's obviously changed, and people do write about that now, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good thing. And I guess if it's, you know, I remember stories over the years of, you know, maybe if it was an infidelity, like say with a teammate's
right.
wife,
yeah,
something
that's a story.
Messing
yeah.
with, you know,
with the team.
Yes. But I don't know that, again, unless if it's a crime, then yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like if someone's a sexual assault or something, but I think rumors about what people might be doing, sexually, I don't necessarily see the need for it. And certainly,
agreed.
There are some outlets that like to stir things up and, I tend to not spend a lot
Same.
Of time on them, but
same here. Kat, what's next for you? How can our listeners follow your journey?
Well, I mean, I'm not working in sports presently, so I don't know if
Do
I'm
you
gonna
want
be
to?
The most interesting.
Do you want to?
Sometimes I think about that. I mean, I've been working in fintech for 6 years, so I'm not working in sports at all. But yeah, sometimes I have thoughts of, even as this was about to be published, I saw, so 6 weeks ago or something, I saw like a really interesting job at MLB, at Major League Baseball. And I was like, I don't think I can apply for that right now. It would be just weird.
Yes, you can.
Well, it just felt weird. I don't know. I don't know if my journey will take me back to sports at any point. I think I worked at ESPN for a few years on the business side, specifically the Spanish language side, like digital media strategy, social. While I was in business school, I interned at Real Madrid. I love working on those partnerships. I mean, maybe the best fit is if I were to work on sponsorships at my own current company or, I don't know. It's not something I'm presently like pursuing, but I wouldn't rule it out in the future.
Awesome.
So.
Well, I could see sports in your future. And you've only brought Spain up 6 times during the interview. So maybe something in international baseball
and all
that stuff.
I think, if the opportunity presented itself in like football in España or work. When I was at ESPN, at ESPN, I got Rafa Nadal to do the This Is Sports Center commercial.
So that's great.
Maybe I can just go work for Rafa Nadal.
That's right.
And the tennis league over there.
Oh, that would be great. Kat, listen, I want to thank you for your time and for your bravery in telling your story. I want you to know that I'll always continue to use my platform to advocate for a world of decency and safety. Also for a world where women are able to work in sports or anywhere with men as equals, and be able to tell people their experiences without fear for their safety, careers, or reputations. Thank you again, and please reach out if there's ever anything I can do, Kat. Thank you.
Thanks for all you do, Rex. Appreciate you. Take care. Charges, sharing our run-ins with the law. Charges, athletes, entertainers, and ballers. Charges, every celebrity ain't flawless. Charges, we came a long way from living lawless. Charges, sharing our run-ins with the law. Charges, athletes, entertainers, and ballers. Charges, every celebrity ain't flawless. Charges, we came a long way from living lawless. Charges. Charges is created by Portal A and Control Media. It's produced by DB Podcasts in association with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA. There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha. Welcome back. What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays? OMG, this could break the case. Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. Ooh, is it full of chilling intrigue? No, it's full of hot savings. CheapCaribbean.com's semi-annual sale is helping you save $200 off your next booking for 4 nights or more. Score site-wide deals to your favorite beaches in Cancun, Aruba, Jamaica, and more now through the end of April. We gotta take this show on the road. Let's start at CheapCaribbean.com.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.